What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, we have finished up week two of the college football season, and we're starting to get an idea of which of these guys are for real, which of these guys are going to see their stock drop. And I've been really excited about the first 2 weeks because I don't think we really know who is going to be in this playoff. I think there's so much movement happening as far as who's good, who isn't, who's actually going to be first round level talent, who isn't. I think the movement that we're going to see here is going to be so fast and furious. It's going to be really exciting to watch.
I'll tell you what, the one thing I do like is that with the expanded playoffs, because you do have a lot of opt-outs in the bowl games. Yeah. And it's frustrating, you know, if you want a talent evaluation, you're wanting to see players play, and they opt out, and you're not seeing them. I think one thing that we don't kind of talk about as much, Chris, is the fact that there's going to be 12 teams in the playoffs. So you'll get to see, because they're not going to opt out. They're going to play in the playoffs. So some of the best talents you'll get to see against other great talents. So you see them going against, you know, top, you know, 12 teams at that point. I'm looking forward to it with the expanded playoffs, and you find out who's going to be in it and who's not. And disappointing games, obviously, for some teams like Notre Dame. Just kind of
they looked terrible.
You know, that was
embarrassing.
That was an ugly loss. And Oregon's been, you know, barely, you know, squirting by their games and not really won them a lot. But this is the time of the year last year where Xavier Worthy, you know, we started really looking at what he was doing every week, and A.D. Mitchell
in
Texas.
And Brian Thomas Jr. was doing that around this time too. Malik Nabers as well.
Yeah, Malik Nabers. But I'll tell you this much right now with Texas. I mean, the big concern, okay, Jonathan Brooks is in the NFL. Jatavion Sanders is in the NFL for the tight end. You have A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. How good is this team going to be? Enter Isaiah Bond and seeing what he's doing. Then Wingo, he just had a 55-yard run for him.
Yeah.
Didn't have a catch, but you'll start knowing his name, and he's a freshman. He can't go in the NFL for a couple of years. But what I'm saying is Texas, man, they just reloaded that board right there. And, you know, Michigan, they had 13 players selected in the NFL last year. Of course, there's going to be a drop-off. I mean, they're like Donovan Edwards is really
he's not that guy.
And Colston's, you know, two of the guys I really want to see.
Right, yeah. So getting into our recap for the top players for college football week two, as it pertains to the draft, starting out with players on local teams, wide receiver Luther Burden III, again, not an impressive showing. Two catches, 21 yards, and a touchdown. He's only got five catches on the year, just under 60 yards.
They haven't had to, really, when you look at the level of competition. I'll say this, too. This is the first team since 2019 in college football to have two straight shutouts at the beginning of the year. Missouri's defense has been so good, and Buffalo is so bad. They're nowhere near like when Lance Leipold was there.
Yeah.
They're not good. They played the FCS team the week before. They haven't had to have that big Luther Burden game. However, and we'll talk about it later, two matchups in college football, two top 25 teams face off. Boston College, different animal from what Missouri has seen so far this season.
Running back DJ Giddens for Kansas State. He had 19 carries, 114 yards. He also had four receptions for 63 yards and a touchdown against Tulane. I thought he was very impressive. I like what I've seen from him in his first two games of the season. Probably a day three guy, but just because of the value of the running back isn't super high. But I like what I've seen from him. I definitely could see him playing
on Sundays.
He's
positioning himself as one of the better ones. Yeah. I've been saying top five to top 10, somewhere in that area where DJ Giddens will start getting a lot of run. He is one of the better running backs in college football.
Another one of the better running backs in college football, KU running back Devin Neal, who had 14 carries for 101 yards. The one thing that does concern me, though, the lack of receptions for him. I think that could impact his value at the NFL level, especially because we know now If you can catch passes, you will have a spot in the league. But he hasn't really shown that. I don't think he had a reception last week either.
It's like Jonathan Taylor when he's at Wisconsin. They kind of just
right.
The kid didn't have hardly any catches. Then his last year, they're like,
because they
force feeding him.
They
wanted
his draft stock to rise up.
So that's what Wisconsin did with that. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, so a little bit disappointing on that part, and you hope that he does get some more run there.
Jalen Daniels' stock has fallen, by the way.
Who?
The quarterback, KU.
Jalen Daniels.
He is not playing at all like he was.
All during the offseason, we were like, man, if Jalen Daniels is healthy, they'll win all these games.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played well in the first two games of the season. So, and he didn't have to play well last week, but then this past week, he did and he didn't. So,
yeah.
Moving on there, Georgia. Carson Beck, their quarterback, probably the leader right now to be the top quarterback taken in this draft class. 18 of 25, 242 yards, 5 touchdowns. So really good performance on his part. Running back Trevor Etienne, the younger brother of Travis Etienne, 5 carries for 78 yards. He also had 2 catches for 14 yards. And then tight end Oscar Delp, a guy that I've brought up as a potential watch for that position as it pertains to the Chiefs. Not been impressive. 1 catch, 13 yards.
That team taking over Brock Bowers.
Yes, yeah. So they haven't quite been able to replace that level of production there. That team that you did just talk about, though, a few minutes ago, Texas. A lot of good performers in that one. Quinn Ewers, 24 of 36 for 246 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's having to do a lot because he's having to fight off Arch Manning from taking his job. He's also trying to keep his draft stock right around that first round range.
Which does surprise me, to be honest with you, because I did not see a situation where Arch sits for 2 years. I just didn't.
I don't think,
and obviously Quinn has stepped up. I mean, he looks sharper this year than he has in the past.
This year, yeah, he looks like that year of refinement.
And he's taken that leadership. You know, everybody thought he wasn't quite ready for prime time. Skipped his senior year of high school football, which is really weird.
Yeah,
he's starting to come into his own, and he's taken the steps, the training, and the working out, and he's taking this thing a whole bunch really seriously. It's nice to see.
And I think the opportunity for him to be that top quarterback in this draft class is right there because I don't think any of the other quarterbacks have really established themselves yet, so he's got an opportunity. His top wide receiver, Isaiah Bond, 3 receptions, 51 yards. Again,
this kid's a stud, man.
This is a guy that first, second round range is where I'd be looking at for him. I would love if the Chiefs were to get him and use him as a slot guy.
He could be exactly kind of in the situation. Obviously, he's being compared to Xavier Worthy, but could be into the first round.
Right, yeah.
I can see him getting up to the end of the first round.
I can see that, too.
Like, Xavier Worthy wasn't right there either until what, 4-2-1 putting in the first round. But
I could see that too. I think the big thing for him I think is going to be combine meetings with teams, things like that. But he's been around a lot of good football in his career. Obviously before Texas he was at Alabama. He's a really, really talented kid. Gadget player.
Interceptions last year.
Put him all over the place. Yeah, this kid's really good. And then a tight end that you really like that we're going to have to throw on the watch list now.
Yeah.
Gunnar Helm, 7 catches for 98 yards. He actually led the team in receiving against Michigan. And he had a touchdown.
Here's the one thing about Gunnar is he's behind Jatavion Sanders last year, obviously. But he's a big physical tight end. And he's 6'5", 250 pounds, and he was moving with fluidity. I mean, he was like a real weapon. Like Colson Loveland was supposed to be the tight end to watch for Michigan.
Yeah.
It was Gunnar Helm. I mean, they're loaded at positions, but he's not on any like tight end watch list or anything because his production, matter of fact, what did he have last year? 13 for 186 and 2 touchdowns. Okay, because he's behind Jatavion.
Behind Jatavion, yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. The way they moved him around, the way his blocking was, in his sure hands, and he's become that steady go to guy for Quinn Ewers, but already 9 catches, 140 yards this year for Gunner. But it's always fun finding those guys that aren't getting really the run early on, and you kind of watch them and see them kind of.
Which we saw that last year. The stock rises throughout the year. Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of guys that do that. For Michigan, on the other side, you had Donovan Edwards, 8 carries, 41 yards. Again, he is not impressing, and I'm kind of worried now that Edwards is not going to get drafted.
And I liked him better. I thought he was I've liked him for several years.
Size-wise, you thought he was a better fit for the NFL than Blake Corum.
He had over 100 yards rushing in the national title game on two touchdowns.
He was really good.
The running game for Michigan's not good because the quarterback play's been so bad and teams are loading up.
Yeah, David Warren's has not been good at all.
I didn't think – I mean, here's the one thing about Michigan. You lose 13 players in the NFL draft. What kind of production there? But the running game for Michigan, it's always kind of been a staple when Harbaugh was there. Just not there, man.
No, they don't really seem to have an identity. They want to be this passing team, but they don't really have the quarterback for it or the receivers for it, so they're kind of just out there trying to do something that they're not really built for. One guy, though, that is catching passes and performing well, probably the best tight end in this draft class right now, is Colston Loveland, 8 receptions, 70 yards.
It's a tight end game, man.
Yeah, he looks real good, man. And I think at this point now, he's...
Between him and Hill, man, it was their show.
He's starting to solidify himself as a first-round pick, I think, at this point, probably in that mid-first-round range.
I think there could be 2 tight ends, 2 to 3 in the first round.
It's very possible.
I mean, Delp could... We'll see.
He's got to step up, though, because he hasn't looked good thus far this year. He's got plenty of opportunities to do it because he plays in a lot of big games. There's going to be a lot of scouts there, so there's going to be a ton of attention.
I think Mitchell Evans, too.
Yeah, Mitchell Evans is on my watch, but it's just like you got to get the right matchup there. Moving on to Alabama, quarterback Jalen Milroe, 16 of 26, 194 yards, 2 touchdowns, 12 carries for 2 yards, 2 touchdowns there. Not sure that is going to move the needle there, but, you know, still doing, you know, it took them a little bit to get their offense going this past weekend, but good performance by him. Jeremy Bernard, wide receiver for them, 4 catches, 53 yards. Malachi Moore, who a lot of people thought was going to be one of the better cornerbacks in the draft class last year, he decided to come back.
They had to do a lot of replacing in the secondary.
Yeah, he had 2 pass deflections. Demonic Jackson, another corner for them, he had 1 pass deflection in the game. Notre Dame got upset by NIU this past weekend, and Riley Leonard, their starting quarterback, a guy who's been on the radar as a potential first-round pick the last 2 years, he was 20 of 32 for 183 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 11 carries for 16 yards.
Two picks, didn't he?
Two picks, you're right. And then he had 11 carries for 16 yards and a touchdown. I think at this point now, just from the watching him the first couple weeks of the season, I'm not sure if we should be talking about him anymore as a potential first rounder.
Didn't even look like any form of the guy that was a Duke. And the one thing about it, Notre Dame eventually, Freeman's got to get him a quarterback and develop this whole, you know, Sam Hartman last year and then Leonard this year.
You keep doing these 1-year transfers.
Yeah,
man.
You got to have someone in your program for a couple years, let the guys know him, get to know your receivers. Listen, I thought it was a good move when Riley Leonard went there because I was like, this kid's good.
He's good.
He was a fringe first rounder last year, I thought.
I was surprised that he didn't at least take his chances to see if he could go in the first round.
Of course, that big
injury
he had at the end of last year.
That hurt him, yeah. But, yeah, he has not – like, it's weird because he just doesn't look like the pocket passer that we saw from him last year at Duke. He's been more of a running quarterback. I just don't know if that fits for him because he just doesn't have – I don't think he has that level of athleticism. I think he's a good athlete, but just not that level. Man, a game that just was never competitive. It was an ass whooping from start to finish. Colorado, Nebraska. Shedeur Sanders, 23 of 38, 244 yards, a touchdown and a pick. Didn't look good at all in this game. I talked about last week how I thought like there were some issues with his fundamentals. The footwork wasn't good. Just didn't look really crisp and clean. A lot of bad off-platform throws. Here, I think this is more than just an issue with his fundamentals and whatnot. This is an issue with his attitude. Like you pointed this out, and I saw this on Twitter before we got on here and started recording. Whenever he scores a touchdown in Boulder, they play his he rapped. He does a little rap, I guess.
Yeah.
I listened to this song before. It's not good.
Yeah.
But he raps, and after he scores a touchdown, they play his song instead of playing the school fight song.
Yeah, they're more the branding. You know what? Honestly, would it behoove him? Honestly, like going to LSU, and being with that great offensive line, you have two
going
top
to
10
a coach
picks.
Is not your dad,
but yes, to where they're going to develop you, not tell you how
it'll
damn
give you
good
a little
you
tough
are
love.
All the time, and
not go cater to you.
The whole world's about you and stuff like this, and you know, having your dad coach. This isn't like Pop Warner football. This is
real life.
Big time Big 12 football.
Yeah.
And to me, it'd be a red flag to me with NFL teams. It just would. Because the whole what time is it that he did last year when they beat Nebraska 36-14.
Yeah.
They were a facade, you know, like the old Western towns that have like just plywood behind them.
Yeah, those
when they
those
beat TCU
cutouts,
last year, everybody's like, well, I was like, wait a minute, man. I remember that. I was like, man, TCU's not good this year.
No.
They're not going to be.
No,
this is not your daddy's
said,
TCU team.
We both said that they were on upset alert when they played.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Colorado,
and then they exposed USC's terrible defense. And yeah. They didn't win that game, but then they beat Nebraska 36-14. Obviously, much different Nebraska game. But you can't point fingers. And you got to have those linemen backing up to him. And you can't just walk in there and be the guy. I mean, this is... You gotta be like Mahomes, man. Mahomes is the best there is, and there he is. They're pushing a pile in the NFL. If you saw him, like when the checkup was going, it was Mahomes pushing.
He went in there, got his hands dirty trying to help his team.
I mean,
you gotta
be that guy.
Instead of at 2 minutes left to go in the game, you walk back to the locker room. You don't look hurt. There's no injury listed for you at all or anything like that. You just walk back.
You're worried about his
NFL
team.
And smiling in the post-game press conference.
Listen, he's got a good arm. I mean, but behind a good offensive line, he'd probably put up some numbers. But I would have rather him go somewhere like LSU or somewhere like that, just away from his dad. And hell, I'd like to see Travis Hunter in a different place, too, to be honest with you.
Me too.
Because I think this kid's got something awful.
Travis Hunter, though, he's still delivering. He had 10 catches for 110 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this.
He's legit.
I'll be happy when Travis Hunter is out of the shadow of the Sanders family. But I'm not super high on Shador right now. The attitude doesn't seem right.
I'd be really concerned if I was looking for a quarterback.
If I was a GM, I would be very concerned.
Very concerned.
That's not how I would want my young quarterback coming in. It kind of gives me like RG3 vibes when he was in Washington. And like the first year he cozied up to the owner, Dan Snyder, and all of a sudden he was out here like overruling Mike Shanahan on the offense. Like when you give that kind of power to a rookie, that's not good.
And the one thing that makes Travis Hunter such a good prospect is he can return. I think his receiving got even better this year with the way he runs.
I think so, too. I think he's a much better route runner
than he
was last year.
And the fact that he plays such good defense as well, and you're playing Iron Man. I mean, there's going to be some decisions to be made. Which direction? What are you calling yourself? If you want to be the Otani of football, these guys they want you to concentrate on one thing or the other. I know that you can have a cup of coffee and play a little bit, you know, like we'll see defensive backs play wide receiver.
It's hard.
But NFL
man.
Teams want you to do one or the other, and you're going to have to do that because you're facing the best, hell of a lot better competition they've seen so far right now. But he's going to have the biggest decision of any draft prospect we've seen in a long time to declare what you are.
It's hard playing in the NFL, and that's the reason why we don't see guys play both ways very often.
No.
And if they do, it's for select few plays.
Or guys like Zammit trying to go from rugby to play in the NFL. Exactly. It's not that easy,
man. It's hard, man. It's so hard to do that. So the idea that he's just going to come in and play two positions, that's just very unrealistic based on what we know, what we've seen with the NFL. Ole Miss, they have some good players on their team. Jackson Dart, who I think is starting to up his profile a little bit here the last couple weeks. He had 25, he was 25 of 27, 377 yards, a touchdown. He had 6 carries for minus 8 and a touchdown as well. Trey Harris, man, this guy's coming out of nowhere.
Trey Harris,
he's doing some things here in the first couple weeks. He's got 9 catches for 130 yards last week, and then Antoine Wells Jr., the other wide receiver, a guy that I brought up last week, he's got 6 receptions for 78 yards and a touchdown. FYI, just for news, Kadarius Toney just signed with the Browns.
Oh, did he?
He just signed with the Browns.
Oh, my God. That team is such a dumpster fire.
Oh, man.
That is, like, perfect for him.
That team just wants to be as bad
as by the way, just what you said earlier about Jackson Dart, when you said 25 of 27.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is too incomplete.
That's crazy.
I know you're playing Middle Tennessee State.
That's crazy, man.
But that is... and the fact that he can move, too. Yeah. And he's one of those guys that the guys like.
Yeah.
Like, they rally around him. Of course, he's been, you know, been around there for a while. And, you know, they play a good Wake Forest. Not a good Wake Forest, but a better
Wake Forest has got talent.
Wake
Forest, they got some talent
this week. So we'll see about Ole Miss, the direction they're heading.
But, yeah, they got a couple good wide receivers. Jackson Dart, I think, has played really well this year. So those are going to be some guys to look out for because they might really put themselves up there. Like, both Harris and Wells, they might move themselves up some teams' boards there. And Jackson Dart as well might move himself into the first round. Running back Ashton Jaunte out of Boise State, 25 carries, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns against Oregon, man. Oregon's got a really good D-line, too. Yeah, a couple of guys on that D-line are going to be playing on Sundays next year.
This running back, I think he's the best in college football right now, Ashton.
Yeah.
And Jaunte has put up 2 great games. He's also quite climbing up the Heisman board. Running back's not going to win it, but...
Yeah, he won't win it because Boise's not that good.
Boise was making an argument to be that non-Power 5 team that's in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And people were thinking, okay, it's either Liberty, could be Tulane. I mean, I'm not, that team that played Kansas State was damn good. Northern Illinois made their little statement, but are they going to choke and piss away games in the MAC? Probably so.
Probably, yeah.
Like Ball State will show up and beat them or something. I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah. No, I do think Jaunte is definitely putting himself on there for like a day 2 pick, and he'll be somebody's like secret weapon.
He's
good receiving back. Yeah,
he's a runner, man.
He's really good. Moving on to Oregon, you got Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, 18 and 21, 243, 2 touchdowns. Decent stat line, but I'm not blown away by it. Evan Stewart, though, wide receiver for them, had a really good game. 5 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown.
Transferred over from A&M.
Yeah, so you really like what you're seeing there from him.
I didn't think that was a good move at first, but it started to look better and better to be at Oregon and not at A&M. I know.
Yeah.
Listen, A&M, they lose to Notre Dame at home. So that doesn't look like a great loss when Notre Dame...
Maybe there was something there with Connor Wigman.
But their coach, Mike Elko, we talked about Riley Leonard earlier at Duke. I mean, the former Duke, he did a good job at Duke.
He did. He did a really good job at Duke.
And I think he's going to be good at A&M.
Moving on to Miami, you had quarterback Cam Ward, who I do think is putting himself in that first round conversation.
Oh,
20 of 26, 304 yards, 3 touchdowns. He also had 4 carries for 13 yards and a touchdown. So he had 4 total touchdowns in this game. Running back Damian Martinez, like a shorter power back type guy, 11 carries, 91 yards and a touchdown. Xavier Restrepo, wide receiver that I've been watching since like middle of last year. 4 catches, 104 yards, and a touchdown. He's definitely, I think, starting to really make himself.
He does everything you want in a wide receiver. He's great hands. He can block as well.
I think he's a good day 2 guy. Yeah.
Hell, we talked about the first week. He almost had a touchdown pass.
Yeah, he did. No, I think he's starting to put himself in that day 2 for sure. Maybe day 1 conversation, moving on to Oklahoma, wide receiver Deion Burks, 9 catches for 53 yards. I really like this kid as a day 2 guy, slot receiver. I'd love for him to be on the Chiefs. He's a smaller receiver there. Kind of another one of those like gadget type guys. You can put him in the slot. I think there's a lot of value there. Running back Ollie Gordon had 17 carries for 49 yards and a touchdown, two catches for 20 yards. So not a big stat day as they played Arkansas. That was a tough game for them.
He was my running back one going into the season, too, but Ashton has kind of taken over that.
Right now, Jonty, yeah. I think, is overtaking him as a top running back. Right now, though, I do think Ollie Gordon has a higher ceiling than Jonty just because better size, and I think he's a little bit more skilled. But, yeah, right now, I mean – you'd be hard-pressed to make a case for anyone better than Jonty right now for running backs. And then finally, quarterback Noah Fifita from Arizona, 18 to 26 for 173 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Not a very impressive stat line there. Also, Teteroa McMillan, wide receiver for them, two catches, 11 yards.
I mean, it was bad competition. Now, they play Kansas State this Friday
night. This is a big game for them.
In Kansas State, secondary really struggled against the redshirt freshman Menza, the quarterback at Tulane.
Yes.
They struggled mightily against
Tulane was taking it to them early. Yeah. They had to make a comeback to win that game late, but Tulane was taking it to K-State early. I think that game is going to have a lot of fireworks in it, and I think this is going to be a prime opportunity for, one, DJ Giddens to go out there and show what he can do at running back, because New Mexico did a great job moving the ball on them last weekend. But also, I think that this is going to be a great opportunity for Teteroa McMillan to put up huge numbers, because K-State secondary is not very good.
Their whole team, they didn't have any like preseason All Big 12 guys.
Right.
Sigel in the secondary, I really like him, but man, were they torched.
Yeah,
Menza was just all over. They made
Tulane looked like they were like one of the top offenses.
Menza
in the country
had one Division I offer. It's Tulane. He was a 3-star kid, and he looked like a 5-star top recruit.
He was really good. So moving on to our Chiefs rookie recap. Chiefs win this past Thursday against the Baltimore Ravens, 27-20. Last-second touchdown throw got called back because Isaiah Likely's big toe on his right foot was out of bounds in the back of the end zone. I was really impressed with the rookies that did play.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of them did play. Jaden Hicks had took no snaps in the game at all.
I was shocked about that one.
I'm not shocked.
I thought he'd get a little...
And the reason why I'm not shocked is because you're playing Lamar Jackson,
and Reed,
and you
got to
have
awesome.
A spot.
And Reed was playing awesome.
Reed was playing awesome, but you got to have a spot.
You'll see Jaden a lot more in the special teams at this point.
Maybe this week against the Bengals and against more of the traditional non-running quarterbacks. But, yeah, I mean, you got to have a different game plan when you're playing against the Ravens, because you got to account for Lamar Jackson. And they ran a spy. I think he ran like 30, 40 plays as a spy or something like that. Maybe that's a little bit high number. But he ran a lot of the most plays he's ever run in his career as a spy. Leo Chanel. So Jaden Hicks wasn't going to get a whole lot of time on.
Oh, and by the way, Kadarius Toney will be a practice squad member.
Oh, so he signed with a practice squad.
I mean, it's one thing to be with the Browns. There's another thing to be with the practice squad.
But that would have been hilarious.
There were some guys banged up. I think Amari Cooper was looking. Judy. I mean, there was some.
There's a chance he could play on the team.
So that's that. But anyway, but back to Worthy. He showed why the Chiefs wanted him.
Yes.
And they were talking a lot about, you know, at least on the broadcast and before in the pregame type shows, you know, about how he blew the Chiefs away, you know, that cerebral side of him.
By the way, his stat line for Xavier Worthy, two catches, 47 yards, a touchdown, one carry, 21 yards, and a touchdown. But, yeah, they absolutely talked. Like, there was a piece, I want to say it was in The Star, by Sam McDowell, I think. It was Jesse Newell. And he wrote about how the Chiefs raved about this kid at the combine when they did their interview with him. This was before they ran the 40. They did their interview with him like the 2 days before the 40. They were like, we want this kid bad. And then they saw the 40 and it was like, he's gone. They saw that 40 and it was like, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's not going to make it to us.
By the way, Jaden Hicks did play 81% on special teams as far as they go. But no, the funny thing is, everybody kept pointing to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because they'd have a picture of Mahomes and Worthy together. Obviously, Buffalo is the reason the Chiefs got both of them.
Right.
And McDuffie, you can throw that in there. But, I went on that, you know Mike Danger and Gene Battaglia.
Yeah,
me from time to time. Well, I go with them, too.
Or Rochester.
And they were asking me, I remember when we first drafted Mahomes, you're like, look what you got here. Buffalo made a good deal here. And I said, thanks, Buffalo. And they're kind enough to play that again because made them pay, and they regret it.
Yeah.
They said, what do you think about Xavier Worthy, Jay? Are we going to get... And they weren't bagging on him at all, saying Buffalo made the right decision, because they've got to the point now, they're like, I bet he's good, because the Chiefs still make mistakes.
Right.
And I just said, thank you, Buffalo. Not Xavier Worthy. And then, Gene had texted me during the game and stuff. You know, Worthy, he gets that, you know, the end around, he scores. It shows how versatile he can be. And when they can create him in space.
So smooth.
And he's going to make defensive backs look completely out of place because he's so damn fast.
Yeah, I went back and watched the all 22 for it after. Yeah, he pulls the safeties with him.
He makes everybody better. Rashee Rice, he's pulling coverage off him. Always Hollywood Brown comes back.
Yeah.
It's going to be
He might be back this week. Hollywood might be back this week.
He might.
Andy was talking about that. They're going to run some tests and see where he is. And he didn't completely rule him out. Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if Hollywood didn't play just as a precaution. But yeah, like I wouldn't be sure. If Hollywood plays this week, there's going to be some trouble for Cincy. But yeah, like on the film, like you could see, like he pulls the safeties every time he goes past 10 yards.
That's why they drafted. We both thought there was going to be a little bit of pressure, and everybody was like, there's not much pressure on him. Well, you're a first-round pick on a team that's a back-to-back Super Bowl champions that needed a wide receiver.
Deep guy.
We all knew they needed a wide receiver. It was no mystery the Chiefs needed. I know people start talking themselves in the offensive linemen and stuff like that. They needed it. And not only that, they didn't grab a Ladd McConkey, in the other rounds.
They didn't get somebody,
you know, like McCaffrey's brother. They didn't get any of these guys later. It was one guy.
Nope.
It was one guy. Xavier Worthy. And he better work. And so my faith is in Veach that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And you and I saw Xavier Worthy play a ton.
We both liked him throughout the year. We both liked him in the preseason.
We mocked him back in September when we did a mock.
Yeah, we were both on it.
Which we're due for another one.
we're due for another one here probably in about a month or so. Kingsley Suamataia played the entire game at left tackle.
Yeah.
He had one pressure, one hit allowed. But overall, I thought Kingsley looked really good.
I thought he did too. And the one thing is just, you know, he really looks good when he was put out in space.
Yes.
We talked about how athletic he is.
That reverse that they ran to Xavier Worthy, he didn't get like a big hit or anything because it was going to the opposite side, but he did a good job of getting out in space and getting into a position where he could seal
it's a tough
that
line
inside
in Baltimore.
Lane
I thought
him.
He did a good job for it. I mean, for being his first NFL start, he's only going to get better, but definitely Kingsley stood out to me.
Yeah, he looked real good in line play.
Actually, when you don't hear their name, that's a good thing.
That's a really good thing when you line up correctly. Yeah. Yeah, there was no issues with
because
lining up.
Because they were clearly calling that.
No penalties.
They were clearly calling that.
They were bullying Ronnie Stanley the entire game. I mean, I think it was kind of payback for last year.
He got the Juwan Taylor treatment,
Juwan Taylor, yeah. I kind of felt bad for him, but I was like, hey, that's what happened with Juwan a year ago.
Juwan probably after the game was just laughing like, oh, dude.
And then finally, Jared Wiley had took 11 snaps for the Chiefs. Didn't have a reception in the game, but... One thing that was interesting, though, is he lined up a lot in the slot. Of his 11 snaps, I think he lined up in the slot 5 of his 11 snaps. So that tells me that, like, they're going to probably try to use him more like what they do with Kelsey than what they do with, like, Noah Gray. So I find that really interesting. And I'll be really interested to see if. Because they did throw some 3 tight end sets. You did run that 13 personnel a lot. I'll be interested to see, like. Yeah. What ways they, especially in the red zone, what
in which
ways
direction
they come up to use
are the
them?
Chiefs
going to
do a tight end now? Because, I mean, they gave Noah Gray a 3-year extension.
Nice little 3-year extension, and $18 million.
He good hands with Noah Gray, but I mean, so what are the Chiefs thinking about the draft? Because Wiley's not going anywhere.
Nope.
Noah Gray's not going anywhere.
Kelsey's got, 2 more years, we think?
Maybe so, yeah. So maybe the whole and this could be a very good tight end draft. Like, this could be one.
Yes.
I don't know you want to set out on this one.
Yeah. I'll say this is a very interesting situation to be in for the Chiefs.
You're becoming a position of strength.
Yeah, it is. It very much is. So moving on to our moneymakers. I'm going to start with my first guy. I'm going to go with Ole Miss wide receiver Trey Harris in 2 games.
Yeah.
17 receptions, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns. This is a guy that was not being talked about a whole lot going into the year as a potential top wide receiver in this draft class. But, you know, we talk about guys in this segment that are starting to work their way up the draft boards, work their way up into that day 2, day 1 range. And I think Trey Harris is doing that right now. Production's going to have to stay there, but I think he's showing some good tape, and he could be in for an Xavier Leggett-type rise.
6'2", 205, which... probably translate to
teams
about
love
6-1,
that size,
but
especially now. Teams love that
not
size.
That, you know, he's stepping up. Keyshawn Judkins is with Ohio State now at the running back. So
Quinshawn.
He's got to be the more of a role.
And then who is your first guy here for the moneymakers?
For mine, Ontario Brown. And
the running back out of NIU.
Northern Illinois, huge upset. Obviously, the biggest upset they've ever had, the biggest upset so far in college football.
That was a great
story.
Not
even close, but he's faced Notre Dame on the road. I mean, this is a kid that had a productive game last week as well. I mean, he's looked upon as a top 20 running back for the NFL draft next year. But the one thing about him is 99 yards rushing, and he's the reason NIU won. Like, he was the reason, because they were handing it to him, and he was moving the chains and moving the clock. But receiving, 2 catches, 126 yards, and a touchdown. Not just 2 catches in that game. He, to me, rose his, like, oh, man, check this guy out, because I'm definitely going to be watching to see what he puts up every week.
My second moneymaker is Xavier Restrepo, the wide receiver from Miami. In 2 games, he's got 11 receptions, 216 yards, 2 touchdowns. I've been really impressed with his ability to not only get open with his routes, make tough catches. He did have that catch against Florida last week. He had to lean back and pull it down. I think this kid's really talented. And this was a guy I thought would probably be a mid-round guy if he had got drafted earlier this year, because there was the possibility that he could have entered.
Yeah.
He decided to stay. They got Cam Ward in there. I think it was a great decision for him, because now he has a position to get like late first round vibes there, and he has a chance to make more money. And I think Restrepo is right now a second day guy, but could very well be, and he could do what Ricky Pearsall did, which is raise himself up from being a third day guy to a late first rounder. And
he's a glue guy, man.
Yeah, he's a glue guy. He's really talented. He puts in a lot of work. I really like this kid. Who is your second moneymaker?
Gunnar Helm, Texas tight end. We talked about him earlier.
You texted me after that game. He was like, this Gunnar Helm kid.
In a game full of stars and Colson Loveland, you know, the best tight end in the country at Michigan, he had a good game, okay. But Gunnar Helm rises from the ashes. Davion Sanders not there anymore. Yeah, you got Isaiah Bond, and you're the University of Texas. He was catching everything. And I was like, man, look at this kid moving. I was looking at him blocking. I'm like, okay, Gunnar Helm, you have my attention at this point. I think in that game, that now you start climbing up tight end charts, because you weren't on there before. And I think people are like, okay, now why don't we have this kid on there? And that's what these games are about, and profile games like this. To me, this is the true epitome of a moneymaker, because he went out and he's definitely on people's radar now.
I think he's putting himself in a situation where he could be one of maybe a couple tight ends in round one. If not set round two, he could be in that middle range there.
We're looking at the beginning of the year, we're talking 6th round, 7th round, undrafted free agent.
Right. But tight end's a position that a lot of teams are starting to find value in because of the size that they have.
I like watching him play.
Yeah, I mean, he could be playing himself into a first-round pick if he continues at this rate.
Ontario Brown with Northern Illinois. That's just keep your eye on that kid.
So moving on to our Week 3 watch list, starting off with a couple matchups on Friday. You've got UNLV taking on KU. Devin Neal, running back for KU to watch out for. You also have Kobe Bryant, the cornerback, and then Melo Dotson, the other corner for them.
Yeah, I put Melo on here because he's starting to get a little bit of run.
Yeah.
Melo is, good corners for Kansas.
Yeah.
That's something they're actually loaded
right,
on.
Right, right. They got some good corners there. The other big matchup there on Friday, you got number 20 Arizona taking on number 14 K-State. Noah Fifita, you still want to watch out for him. I know he did have a bad week this week, this past Saturday, but he's still a very talented quarterback. Could be someone that kind of sneaks on to someone's roster, you know, day 3, maybe undrafted, but I think that he'll at least get a shot at the NFL. And then Teteroa McMillan could make a case for him being the top receiver in this draft.
He's the best receiver. He's so big, too.
Though Travis Hunter has been more consistent.
But we'll have to see how he runs at the combine.
Yes.
He's a big guy.
I don't know if that's going to matter for him.
It didn't for Puka.
No.
Clearly.
I don't think it's
Keon Coleman. He was the slowest 40 of wide receivers.
Yeah,
it didn't matter.
He was so slow. But I don't think it might not matter for him, just because he's going to be more of a Mike Evans type. So if he runs, like, let's say he runs like a 4.5, like a 4.51. whatever, like Johnny Wilson Jr. did. Like, I think you're really happy if he does that because he's really tall and he's not going to be one of those guys that's a burner. So,
what Keon Coleman is, I didn't look at his final numbers.
I want to say it was like a 4.67.
No, his final stats.
His final stats.
He has 4.51. All right, 4.51 is in his first game. So.
Yeah, no, he actually decent.
No, he was okay.
Most of that was on that one fade route he caught on the sideline there. He was okay. Yeah, he was all right. And then running back DJ Giddens for Kansas State, you want to watch out for him. He might eat in this game because Arizona is not very good on defense. Moving on to Saturday, you've got Boston College taking on Mizzou. This is a ranked matchup now for both teams because Boston College is number 24.
One of two ranked matchups.
Mizzou is number 6. Luther Burden III. Watch out for him. He has not blown anybody away in the first couple weeks, but he's incredibly talented, so you want to watch him.
Bill O'Brien's the coach at Boston College. Obviously, you know about his NFL ways, and he was at Alabama. But they run, this is more of a pro system.
Right.
You'll see with Boston College, this is a good litmus test for some of these guys like Luther Burden, because the competition has not been there. Missouri's defense has been crazy freaking good.
They've been really
worried
good
about that.
They really good.
Again, first FBS team since 2019 to shut out the first two opponents. Yeah. I don't care who you played, that's still impressive.
Yeah. Texas A&M takes on Florida. You do have Connor Wigman to watch out for. You know, we'll see how that works out. He did not impress.
Oh, by the way, Missouri too, Marcus Carroll and Noel, the running backs.
Yeah.
Watch those guys. And Brady Cook, even though the Chiefs aren't looking for a running back or a quarterback, but Brady Cook, in that game, if you're looking for that direction.
Yeah. Wide receiver Moose Muhammad III, who is not played yet this year. He's had some injury issues, but maybe he does play this week and kind of puts himself on that radar. Edge rusher Nick Scorton and edge rusher Shamar Turner as well for A&M, and then also cornerback Will Lee III, who has had a pretty good start to the season. Alabama, number 4, takes on Wisconsin. Jalen Milroe at quarterback. Jeremy Bernard at wide receiver. They got a couple of really good guards in Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts. Maybe the best guard tandem in the country. Jaheim Otis at defensive tackle and Damani Jackson at corner, and also Malachi Moore as well. Then Arkansas State takes on number 10 Michigan. Donovan Edwards, if he doesn't do anything this week, he's coming off this list. Like, he's coming off this list, man.
I mean, yeah, because you're seeing all these other guys.
He hasn't done anything.
Shine.
I don't even know if he does. He have 100 yards rushing on the season total.
In Missouri's two backs about Edwards.
Yeah, like I've not been impressed at all by him. Colston Loveland, maybe the best tight end in the country.
Yeah.
He's going to be playing in this game. The best defensive tackle tandem in the country, Mason Graham, Kenneth Grant, both guys are going to be first round picks.
And Chiefs might be looking heavily.
Yeah, Chiefs might be looking there. Round. One of those guys might probably more so. Was it? I think Mason Graham is considered the lesser of the two. I think Kenneth Grant is considered the better one. So maybe Mason Graham will be on the Chiefs' radar late in the first. They also have a couple of good edge rushers, Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart. And then you also have a linebacker in Jayshon Barham and a corner in Will Johnson. Number 13, Oklahoma State takes on Tulsa, running back Ollie Gordon, probably the number 2 running back right now in this draft class. LSU, number 16, takes on South Carolina. You've got C.J. Daniels, who's probably not going to be on this list for very much longer because he is not impressed. But you have the two best tackles in the country in Will Campbell and Emory Jones. And then defensive tackle.
This is why I thought you do a place like LSU. That they wanted him. But
if he had gone there,
you play behind Emory Jones and Will Campbell.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. You also have a defensive tackle in Bear Alexander, a guard in Miles Frazier, and a linebacker in Harold Perkins to watch out for. Number 18, Notre Dame takes on Purdue. Riley Leonard may not be on this list very much longer because he's not played very well. Mitchell Evans, though, tight end for him. He is someone to look out for.
Watch him.
Another couple of – they really have 3 defensive linemen you should be looking for. Howard Cross III, I really like him as a rotational defensive tackle, as more of a 3-tech. Not a guy you really want to be playing against the run, though. But that's a guy I really like there. Riley Mills, the other defensive tackle. R.J. Oben playing on the edge. And then the linebacker, you got Jack Kaiser. And then cornerback Benjamin Morrison. Number 9, Oregon takes on Oregon State. Quarterback Dylan Gabriel. Wide receivers Tez Johnson and Evan Stewart. Definitely both going to be guys to look out for. Late first, probably second, third round range. They got 2 good tackles there with Josh Connerly and a Johnny Cornelius. They have two good defensive linemen. They have a defensive tackle in Jamari Caldwell and an edge rusher in Jordan Birch, which having those two guys on there and still Ashton Jaunty going out there and having almost 200 rushing yards is really impressive. And then you got a cornerback in Jabbar.
But Evan Stewart's someone I want to watch because of his track record and he's, at
and
A&M.
He's been the better of the two thus far this year.
Definitely someone to watch.
Ball State takes on number 10 Miami, Cam Ward. I cannot stress this enough. Watch Cam Ward. He could be the best quarterback in this draft.
He could also win the Heisman.
He could also win the Heisman, yes.
Very good at Washington State last year.
Especially because the ACC does not look great this year, so Miami could win the ACC this year, and he could be very much in that Heisman race and win it. Running back Damian Martinez, I think, could be a good day three steal. Edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr., and then Francisco Mauigoa. So I finally got this cleared up because they have a Francis Mauigoa, and they have a Francisco Mauigoa, or Kiko Mauigoa. Francis Mauigoa is a tackle for them, and who we put on the watch list last year a lot because they had two really good tackles there. He ended up staying though, and then they have a Francisco Mauigoa playing linebacker for them. That's the guy you want to watch out for. Tulane, very good team, takes on number 15 Oklahoma,
which really struggled last week.
They struggled last week, man. Oklahoma, two wide receivers to look out for. Nick Anderson, has he played this year? Because I know he didn't play last week.
Oklahoma's on upset alert, man.
Yeah, dude, Tulane's good. Nick Anderson, I don't think he's played at all this year. Deion Burks has been their top receiver. Yeah. He's looked very good.
Stutzman is a stud bagger.
Yeah, Danny Stutzman, Desan McCullough is the other one, and then Gentry Williams at corner. Guys to look out for. NC Central takes on UNC running back Omarion Hampton, who I would have in my top three for running back still. Really like this kid. Tight end Bryson Nesbitt, who could be a day two, day three guy at tight end. I really like his athleticism. He might be like the Theo Johnson of this class for tight ends, where like he doesn't put up major statistics, and there's some concerning things on film, but then you watch him at the combine, and he just blows up because he looks like an incredible athlete on tape.
It's getting one of the tight ends, you know, when you're sitting there.
Yeah. Like, he might be a good day three guy at tight end there.
6'5", he's about 235 right now.
Good size is good athlete. Got an athlete, more of a wide tight end, so like Travis Kelce type. Line up in the slot. They have guard Zach Rice that you want to look out for, and then edge rusher Kamon Rucker as well. Number 5, Ole Miss takes on Wake Forest. Jackson Dart at quarterback. That's a guy I think that, you know, with the way that he's playing right now and the way that Kiffin's coaching him up. Kiffin might be the coach for Florida here real soon. Napier ain't going to be around there for very much longer. But Jackson Dart, I think, is right now playing himself into potentially being a first-round pick. Two wide receivers to look out for, Trey Harris and Antoine Wells Jr. And edge.
That offense is unbelievable. It's Trey Harris, you know, big receiver, 6'2", is what he's listed at now.
Yeah,
you know, combine, maybe 6'1".
Yeah, probably 6'1".
Maybe 6'2", who knows? They never grow. It's never like they get the combine.
No, you're not 6'2", and you turn out to be 6'3" on the measurement. It's always 6'1". But you'll take a 6'1", 205. You know, you're cool with that. And then finally, edge Jasheen Davis for Wake Forest. I think he's a perfect fit for what the Chiefs like to do. UTSA takes on number 2 Texas now, with Quinn Ewers at quarterback, Isaiah Bond at wide receiver, Gunnar Helm at tight end, tackle Kelvin Banks. You also have edge rusher in Ethan Burke and defensive tackle in Alfred Collins. Number 1, Georgia takes on Kentucky. And there's some guys in this game. Carson Beck at quarterback, Trevor Etienne at running back, Oscar Delp at tight end, though he hasn't impressed thus far, so we'll watch out for him. Really good guard combo in Tate Ratledge and Dylan Fairchild. They also have Nazir Stackhouse on a defensive tackle, another guy to watch out for the Chiefs. Mykael Williams and Jaylen Walker, both edge rushers. Smail Mondin Jr. at linebacker. And then going over to the Kentucky side, you got Berrion Brown and Dave Key at wide
Dane
receiver.
Dane Key. He's big. He's like 6'3".
Yeah, he's big. Yeah, and he's been their leader in receiving.
You had that. I put Dane. It's a great Dane.
Yeah, it's Dave Key.
It's Dane, actually.
Is it Dane?
It's Dane.
Oh, I thought it was Dave. Then it is Deion Walker at defensive tackle. He's, you can make a case he's the second best defensive tackle in this draft class. Jamon Dumas Johnson at linebacker, and then Maxwell Hairston at corner. Number 12, Utah takes on Utah State. Tight end Brant Cuthie could be a good day two tight end.
We're listing a bunch of tight ends in this watch list because that's because they're worth watching.
They're worth watching. Brant Cuthie is a guy that's been he's been playing college football for like 10 years now, but I think there's value there. He's a Dalton Kincaid type.
He's 6'2", about 200. He's fullback size. What
he's Dalton Kincaid type.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, our guy Hunter Luepke.
Yeah.
That we like last year undrafted. Yeah. He's kind of like him.
Right.
It's the way it reminded me of Hunter. Dallas has been using him at tight end now, too. Like, been working out at tight end.
Of course.
He made a couple nice catches yesterday, man. Hunter Luepke. But it reminds me of a Hunter Luepke type guy.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a lot of a team that runs a lot of 12 personnel, likes to throw to those smaller guys, put him in the slot a lot. He'll be in that role. And then Lander Barton, the linebacker for Utah as well. Colorado takes on Colorado State. Shedeur Sanders, not looking great for him right now. But he's still a guy to watch out for because he still could be a first-round pick. He could shore things up, but the way his attitude, the way his persona is right now.
Stop blaming your teammates.
Yeah, he might fall out the first round.
I'll be honest with you. It's not a good situation he's in because he sacked all the damn time. So I do understand that you just can't say it. We can all see it. We can all see
it, Shedeur. Don't go blaming your teammates.
And they have zero running game.
Yeah,
like there's nothing.
None. And he Dylan basically Edwards, said, hey, put the ball in. We should be throwing the ball anyways because I'm the best quarterback.
Yeah,
he
basically said nothing.
Yeah. Not good. Not good at all. But you do want to watch Travis Hunter because I think Travis Hunter is a special wide receiver.
Yeah, he's
arguably the best in his draft class. And then wide receiver Torrey Horton for Colorado State as well, a guy that you really like. And then finally,
yeah, he's fun to watch, man. He's a bit underrated. I think he'll be a top 20 receiver taken in the draft.
Probably a day three guy.
Torrey Horton's the guy to watch for, and I'm actually gonna watch it. I'm looking forward to this game.
And then finally,
it was good last year.
Yeah,
in Boulder.
He was.
No, I mean it was a good game in Boulder last year between these two.
It was. And then finally, Kent State takes on number 7 Tennessee. You've got a couple of three wide receivers to look out for. Dante Thornton, Brew McCoy, a guy who was on our radar last year at wide receiver, but then decided to stay at Tennessee.
And he's a big one.
He's very big. And then Squirrel White as well.
I like that name, Squirrel White. Yep. They could have three receivers drafted this year. And Brew McCoy is...
Was that like 6'3 or so?
He's 6'3 and like 230 pounds.
Yeah,
and
he's a big boy.
And Dante Thornton is like 6'5".
Yeah.
230. So they've got some...
They got some big body guys there.
Tennessee, but not only that, but I can't wait for a year. Because I've been practicing Nico Imalavaea.
Great job, man.
I've been practicing that one.
Great job.
I've been practicing that one. Because we don't have to worry about it so much this year. Because obviously...
Right.
But next year...
Next year, he's going to be got to look out for
about him. Because I just won't call him Nico all day.
Yeah, people are raving about his arm talent.
I think Tennessee's one of the teams that I'm like, man, this team might be really good because they're playing like that. And the other team is USC.
Yes.
Because not only that, they have a defense this year. They're actually fun defensively to watch because Dante Lynn comes over. He was UCLA's. He had a top 10 defense there. New defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And then Matt Entz from North Dakota State, the one who won the two national titles, an assistant on that defensive side.
Yeah.
So they're no joke, man.
A couple other players on that Tennessee team, guard Javonte Spraggins to look out for. And then James Pierce, edge rusher there. Might be the best edge rusher in this draft.
Yeah, I think he is.
So that is it for our watch list for the week. And next week we'll obviously have our recap of all the players, all the top players and performers from this past week. We're also going to have our Chiefs recap as they take on the Bengals. They host the Bengals at home and hopefully go up, start the season off 2-0, down a couple of opponents that would be in the way of them getting
Zach
the one
Taylor's
seed.
1-9 in the first four games years.
This could be a great situation for the Chiefs. So we'll have that rookie recap. We'll tell you which guys made money for themselves in this draft class.
Moneymakers.
We'll give you our week 4 watch list. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. Thanks for listening to us, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.